So Krishna is answering the seventh question of Arjuna. How can a person remember the Lord at the time of death? And that is the question. Prayana kale katam nyeyosi. Krishna first says, actually, why the God to be remembered at the time of death? And the answer was what? If the Lord is remembered at the time of death, then one attains the Lord after death. Ishvara smaranena Ishvaram prapnoti. So Ishvara smaranam all the time brings Shubha samskaras, all good samskaras. And if Shubha samskaras are strengthened and Ashubha samskaras are eliminated, then what happens? At the time of maranam, at the time of death, when our will, free will, is very, very weak, even without our will, our free will, the Shubha samskara will bring out only the thought of the Lord. It will bring us almost mechanically. Since the final thought determines the next janma, the next birth, and also since the final thought is determined by the dominant thought of the life, the entire life, so tasmat, therefore, sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara, remember me. This was said in the shloka 7. Okay, so if I am going to remember the Lord all the time, then the question was, who will do my day-to-day work? Who will do my duties? Krishna seems to give a very, very impracticable idea. That's what one would think. Should I do my duty at all or not? So Krishna adds, yudhyacha, remember me and fight also. He is telling to Arjuna. O Arjuna, follow your ashrama dharma. Kshatriya dharma you should follow. Then the question will be, how is it possible to do both simultaneously? Mind can never do two jobs simultaneously. If it does, then one must be mechanical. One of the jobs should be mechanical. Then what is the benefit of it? Mayarpita manobuddhihi. With your mind and intellect, mind and buddhi, intellect completely surrendered unto me, doing arpitam to me. Mameva yeshyasi. You will certainly come to me alone. That is a promise Krishna gives. And he gives this guarantee, asamshayam. There is no doubt about this at all. So by dedication of buddhi through shastra vichara and regulation of mind through yoga abhyasa. So mayarpita manobuddhihi mameva ayeshyasi asamshayam. Then the next question will be, how to do this? Krishna has told this, okay, this is the way you should do. But how to do this? And that was answered in shloka number 8 that we saw in the last webinar. What is the method of regulating the mind and intellect and surrendering unto the Lord? That was answered earlier. And that method is called by the word Abhyasa Yogaha. Abhyasa Yogaha. And the Abhyasa Yoga at both the levels. What are the both the levels? At the buddhi level, Abhyasa means understanding. At the intellectual level, Abhyasa means understanding, which is the regular study of Shastras, Swadhyaya. Swadhyaya is regular study of Shastras. Then the mind also must be given the same direction. Not only it must be in at an intellectual value, in my day-to-day life also, my thought should be in that direction alone. It cannot be separate from that. It should not be carried away by kama, krodha, moham, all those lobadi, all those vrittis. It should not be carried away by them. So vritti regulation is thought regulation. That becomes the second important thing for which alone the Ashtanga Yoga is prescribed. Being alert at all the levels, learning to regulate the body first, sense organs, breathing, the very thought, all those things have to be regulated and controlled. So Abhyasa Yoga here refers to the Ashtanga Yoga in the field of the mind and Shastra Abhyasa in the field of intellect. So that is why Manas and Buddhi could be controlled. So Abhyasa Yoga refers to Ashtanga Yoga, disciplining the mind, and thereafterwards that mind should be used to think of the Lord only all the time. So Paramam Purusham Yati, that person will attain the Paramapurusha, Param Purusha, Divyam, which is self-effulgent, that Lord. And how does he go there? Krama Mukti. That we should remember, because the entire 8th chapter is talking about Krama Mukti, no Jivan Mukti at all. So he goes to Hiranyagarbha Loka, Brahma Loka, and then on, through knowledge, that person, he attains Mukti. And sloka number 9, that is what we are going to read today, and this is continuation of the earlier thought itself, up to sloka 8. Sloka 9. Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram Anoraniyam Samanusmaredyaha Sarvasya Dhataram Achintya Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasaparastat. Now in the previous sloka, Paramam Purusham was mentioned. He attains, this person attains Param Brahma. And here we get the description of what that Param Brahma is. That is what is given here in this sloka. What type of Param Brahma does the Upasaka attain? He does Upasana in that manner, as described earlier in the 7th, 8th and all slokas. What type of Param Brahma this Upasaka attains? And all the words in the slokas are all only adjectives for this Param Brahma. And some of the descriptions are from Saguna standpoint, and some descriptions are from the Nirguna standpoint, and we will see both of them as we read the sloka. Kavim Puranam, Kavim. Kavim means Kavihi, omniscient, Sarvajnaha, from Saguna standpoint. Because when we say somebody is Sarvajnaha, it cannot be from the Nirguna standpoint, it could be from the Saguna standpoint, because if a person has to know everything, then there should be something other than that person for him to know. Whereas Nirgunam Brahma, we talk about only Advaitam Brahma, there is no two at all for anybody to know. So when we talk about Sarvajnaha, Sarvajnatvam refers to only Sagunam Brahma. So from the Nirgunam angle, omniscient, omnipotent are not there at all, because it is absolutely free from all characteristics, even omniscience and all that. So along with Maya, the very same Param Brahma, it becomes Sarvajnaha. So without Maya, it is Shuddham Shivam, but along with Maya, it becomes Sarvajnaha. And now, why do we say that Nirgunam Brahma cannot be called omniscient? Again, we should remember, omniscient means what? Knower of everything. So from Nirgunam Brahma standpoint, there is no second thing at all, as we said earlier. So how can it know anything when nothing else is there other than itself? So it is ekameva na advitiyam. There is no two at all. So the moment we talk of everything, we have to come to a lower plane. From the Parambrahma stage, we come to the lower plane, because there are other things. So from that standpoint, we have to come to Maya, because the second thing, it comes only when Maya comes. When Maya is not there, there is no second thing at all. So from that angle, Parambrahma can become ruler also, because Nirguna Brahma cannot be ruler, because it can be ruler of what? There is nothing to be ruled. There is no second thing to be ruled. So Parambrahma from the Saguna angle can be ruler. So Sarva Ishwaraha is from Saguna Brahma standpoint, and so is Sarvajnaha. Similarly, Srishtikarta, Layakarta, all Sthitikarta, all those things are all only from the Saguna standpoint. So Kavi also from the Saguna standpoint only. In the shloka, Kavim Puranam, that Kavihi, also from Saguna point. Then Puranam, Kavim Puranam. Puranam means eternal. Eternal is ageless. And this description will fit both Sagunam and Nirgunam. Why both are eternal? Nirgunam Brahma is eternal, that we know. Nirgunam Brahma plus Maya is Sagunam Brahma. And because Maya is eternal, Sagunam Brahma also is eternal. So this will be eternal, Puranam. That will refer to both Sagunam Brahma and Nirgunam Brahma. Both are beginningless. And then Anushasitaram, from the Saguna standpoint, it is the ruler of all, to rule, to govern, to administer. Why? Because it is Sagunam Brahma. Because from the Nirgunam Brahma standpoint, there is nothing to be ruled, because there is no second thing at all to be ruled. Whereas from the Saguna standpoint, there is all the things to be ruled. And so this is from the Saguna standpoint. and anuraniyamsam, which is subtler than the subtlest. Anuraniyamsam refers to the subtler than the subtlest. From the nirgunam brahma standpoint, what do we mean by subtle here? That it cannot be recognized by any instrument of cognition, by any instrument of knowledge. Eyes cannot see, nose cannot smell, mind cannot objectify, intellect cannot define. It is incomprehensible. So anoho aniyamsam, subtler than even an atom, the subtlest. Then the second line is sarvasya dhataram, the sustainer of everyone. Sarvasya dhataram, sustainer, dhataram, that which is support of everyone. And this also will fit for both sagunam and nirgunam brahma. As Ishvara, he supports everyone. And as nirgunam brahma, he is the adhishtanam, support of everything. But Shankaracharya takes as sagunam brahma only in this particular usage. In his commentary, he says, Datha means the one who allots karma palam to every karta according to the laws of karma. So Datha. Dataram refers to karmapala vibhaktaram. Karmapala Datha. Karmapala Datha is the Lord. So without making any mistake, the one who has to enjoy, he enjoys. One who has to suffer, he suffers. One who deserves Swargaloka, he goes to Swarga. One has to go to Brahmaloka, he goes to Brahmaloka. So everyone gets the result according to their karmapala. And so he is called Sarvasya Karmapalasya Vibhaktaram Dhataram. And when you look from this angle, it must be again Sagunam Brahma only. And then Achintya Rupam. This is also both from the Sagunam and more with the Nirgunam Brahma. Because the Sagunam Brahma cannot be thought of because the gunas are innumerable. For a Sagunam Brahma, the gunas are innumerable. Lord's virtues are so many and so vast that it is beyond anyone's comprehension. For example, the world has got so many forms and colors. In the world, Sagunam, is the world, when you take the world itself, is it Sagunam or Nirgunam? The world is only Sagunam. But still, the eyes cannot see all the things because of what? Because of the limitation of the eyes. Similarly, Sagunam Brahma has got properties, it has got virtues, but still there are so many of them that it is not possible to even imagine, to enumerate, or even to conceive the various properties, the gunas of the Sagunam Brahma. So because of its dimension, it is beyond our conception, our limited intellect. And what about Nirgunam Brahma? In Nirgunam Brahma, since the gunas are absent, we are not able to conceive it. In Sagunam Brahma, the gunas are too many, so we cannot conceive. In Nirgunam Brahma, the gunas are absent, so we cannot conceive. So either way, we cannot conceive. So what can we conceive then? A Saguna Vastu with limited gunas only we can conceive. A Saguna Vastu, Nirguna Vastu cannot be conceived at all. A Saguna Vastu also can be conceived only if it has limited gunas. So it is Achintya Rupam. Achintyam Swarupam Yasya, so whose nature cannot be thought of. And then Aditya Varnam, the one who is effulgent like the sun, Adityaha Iva Swayam Prakasha Swarupam. Varnaha means Prakasha Swarupaha, Varnaha. So this also will fit for both Nirgunam and Sagunam, especially for the Nirgunam Brahma. Sun is often taken as an example. The sun god Suryaha is taken as an example. It is the most brilliant one. It has its own original prakasha, unlike the moon. Moon doesn't have its own prakasha. And moon is how many? 250,000 miles far away. Its light is reflected from sun, which is how far away? It is 90 million miles away. And we get such a brilliant light, but it is only a borrowed glory of the moon. It's not its original glory. But Aditya Prakashaka is Swayam Jyotihi. It is its own glory, its own brilliance. So similarly, Atma also is Swayam Jyotihi. Mind is like moon. It is not Swayam Jyotihi. because mind has got borrowed chaitanyam only, the brilliance borrowed from chaitanyam only, and tamasaha parastat, this is from the nirguna brahma angle only, which is beyond tamas. Tamas refers to ignorance. Ignorance or maya. Tamas here refers to ignorance or maya. So here, saguna brahma cannot be taken because it falls within maya only. All types of Ishvara, they all fall within maya. The moment you talk about Ishvara, maya naturally comes. So they all mithya only. That is difference. So within maya, the only thing beyond maya is nirguna brahma. All other things, Ishvara, any Vishra Devata, everything, they come under maya only. Such a Brahman, the Upasaka, reaches through what? Through Krama Mukti. And that is what is said in this shloka. Shloka number 10.
Prayana kale manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva bruvor madhye pranam aveshya samyak satam purusham upaiti divyam.
So here some more details are given about upasana at the time of death. Now this is going to be all some kind of a very serious topic. So what an upasaka does at the time of death. And that is why in the beginning itself the Lord says prayana kale. Prayana kale, what prayanam? It is the final prayanam. So what are the conditions? His mind must be steady. If he has to go to Brahmaloka, these are all for a person who wants to get Krama Mukti. It's not Jivan Mukti, Krama Mukti. So he has to first go to Brahmaloka after death, and at Brahmaloka, then he has to get self-knowledge and go to Moksha. So for this, what is the cutter of the conditions for that, for a person to go to Krama Mukti? His mind must be steady. First condition, Achalena Manasa. Steady in what? The mind should not go anywhere except the Upasya Devata, the Lord. Mind should be always concentrating on the Upasya Devata only, not on anything else. And he has talked about it already in the 8th shloka. Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena Chetasa Na Anyagamina. He has already talked about earlier with Abhyasa Yoga. By that you study the mind. That Na Anyagami alone is said here as Achalena, Achetana. Unwavering. Achalena means unwavering. Unwavering mind. The mind without any chalam means wavering. Achalam. Chalena. So which means he must be prepared. He must have prepared the mind long before death. If the mind has to be achanchalam, without wavering, it cannot just happen at that moment. It should be practiced over the entire birth. He must be prepared. He must have prepared the mind long before that. That is why someone people say, we prepare for every journey. If you want to take some tour somewhere, all that, whatever, you know, people do so many tour, travel, all that. Every journey, before that journey, they prepare months together. Sometimes they even prepare years together. To go to Kailas, they want to do the parikrama. They prepare. People even walk because they have to walk at high altitude. They practice for all those things. Because train, plane, rain, all those things are there. There is one definite journey which everybody has to definitely undertake, and that is the final journey. Do we prepare for that journey at all while we're living? That is the biggest question. That is actually Dharmaputra said actually in the Yakshaprashna. In the Mahabharata, there is this Yakshaprashna portion. There Dharmaputra said, what is the greatest wonder in the world? That was the question. There we constantly see people dying and going away, and one lives as though he is going to be there permanently forever on earth, giving send off to everybody. That is what everybody thinks. That is the greatest wonder. So remember, a day when other people will have to give send off to us also. That is, one day will come, either happily or unhappily, depending on how we led a life. Some of them may be very happy that somebody went off. Some of them may be unhappy that he is going away. So we have to rehearse our death. Krishna teaches us. We have to rehearse our death. We all avoid that thought, thinking that it is amangalam. People think, oh, even the very word death, if you say, they think it is amangalam. It is not auspicious. But it is only a vikaram. Asti jayate vardate viparinamate apakshiyate vinashyati. It is only one of the sixfold modifications of the body. There is nothing amangalam about it. It is a natural process. So if you have to die efficiently, then what happens then? If you have to die efficiently, gracefully and peacefully, perhaps, that life should be properly well planned throughout. Even that day should be well planned throughout. Now, instead of worrying or regretting over what is going to happen, what next I can think of, how can I make that phenomenon as the best one? The final phenomenon, the final travel, how can I make it the best one for me? That alone is Ishvara Chitta. So first condition is unwavering mind in the Upasana. And the second condition is Bhaktya Yuktaha. The mind should be full of devotion to the Lord. Because only then the mind can be fixed in the Lord. The mind goes towards the thing which we value most in life, which is the job of the intellect. If the intellect values money, the mind will run towards it. If the intellect values relationships, again the mind also will go towards them. If the intellect knows the value of the Lord, then there will be bhakti. So at the buddhi level, we should realize the value of the Lord, admiration, appreciation of the superiority of the Lord. That should be understood very well by the intellect. That mind will reject then the lower things and concentrate on the highest. That's what that mind will do. So, idam sarvam anityam, Ishvaraha eva nityaha. Only Ishvara is nitya vastu. All others are anitya. Remember, this cannot be developed at the time of death. All this Vedanta cannot be developed at the time of death. Right from the beginning, Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnoho, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Mandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam should be a lifelong exercise. It cannot just happen at the time of death. Various stages through study of scriptures, study of Puranas, listening to scriptures, all those has to be practiced throughout the life. So first condition is what? Unswerving mind and an oscillating mind. And the second condition is bhakti. Both have to be there. Then Krishna talks about a third condition, which is a very, very technical condition and a most difficult condition. What is going to happen at the time of death for an ignorant person? We are not talking about ajnanis. We are not talking about only ajnanis. We are not talking about jnani at all. Ajnani only. In the case of a jnani, what happens? The sthula shariram dies for a jnani. When he dies, the grass body dies. And at the end of prarabdha, it will die only. And the sukshma shariram, the subtle body, it also mingles with the total. It also loses its individuality, merges with Hiranyagarbha, the samashti, the total, and goes away. So the speciality of a jnani's death is sthula shariram and the sukshma shariram, they go away. Of course, karana shariram also included. So sthula shariram, sukshma shariram and karana shariram all go away in the case of a jnani. But what happens to an ajnani? For an ignorant person, atma ajnani. Ignorant person means atma ajnani with respect to self-knowledge. He is ignorant. What happens to him who does not know the self? For him, at the time of death, only the sthula shariram alone falls. Only the grass body alone dies. And the sukshma shariram, along with the karana shariram, it leaves the physical body and travels to whichever next destination it is. Whatever janma it has to take next, it could be an animal janma, it could be a plant janma, it could be another human janma. We don't know. It is going towards taking that destination. So the jiva with karana sukshma shariram leave the grass body, which alone is called marana. We call that death. And it goes where? It depends on the karma. We will see actually in the Kathopanishad. I am going to talk Kathopanishad because we just finished Bhrigavalli, Taittiriya Upanishad. I am going to start Kathopanishad next. So we are going to see many of these details there. Yoni manye prapadyante shariratvaya dehinaha sthanu manye anushayanti yata karma yata shrutam. We are going to see that according to the karma, the jiva travels. And we don't say, I have not seen any such thing at all. Because when we say jiva travels and all after death, we cannot say, oh, I have not seen all that thing. Where did you see all that? That question could not be asked. Because both the karana shariram and sushma shariram, they both are invisible. You cannot see any of them. As atma is invisible, these are also invisible. Only the sthula shariram, grass body alone is visible. Of course, Atma is invisible, that we know. So we won't see the bundle of Chaitanyam, Sukshma Shariram and Karana Shariram. We won't see it. We won't see them traveling at all because they are subtle. They cannot be seen. Okay, if they cannot be seen, then how do you know that they are traveling? That will be the next question. Because we are all, we want to be rationalists, you know, all the time. How do we know that they are traveling? We don't know. We only depend on the scriptures. The scriptures tell us so. And when we say travel, and they are traveling towards where? To take another grass body. So this bundle of this Sukshma Shariram, Karana Shariram and Jiva, after death, they travel in search of another suitable grass body, another Sukshma Shariram, so that it can continue the journey. So Sukshma Shariram has to travel. And in the Sukshma Shariram, what is the most important thing in the Sukshma Shariram? Actually, I have already defined this thing for the sake of people who may not know it. I can define it again. The Sukshma Shariram has got 17 elements. 5 Jnanendriyas, 5 sense organs, 5 Karmendriyas, 5 organs of action, Pancha Pranadayaha, Prana, Apana, Vyana, Udana, Samana, Manas and Buddhi. All these 17, people normally include Chitta and Ahankara also to make it 19. So we can take 17 or 19, doesn't matter. But in this, the most important thing for this travel and further things is the Prana Shakti. So along with the sense organs and mind, all will be gradually withdrawn at the time of death. So in the Sukshma Shariram, most important thing is supposed to be Prana. And this Prana Shakti, along with the sense organs and mind, etc., they will all be withdrawn at the time of death. That is why the eyes become weaker. When a person dies, the eyes become weaker. The ears, they may not hear. The mind, Karmendriyas, they will all become inoperative. And the Prana also, all the 5 of them, they will resolve. But they all resolve into what? Into one prana, the Udana Shakti. Prana, Apana, Vyana, Udana, Samana. In that they all resolve into Udana Shakti, which is in charge of the journey. It is the Utkramana Vayu. Everything goes to a reversal mode. In all of the things, all of the physiological functions, they all stop. And the Utkramana Vayu, that only predominates. So the prana is respiration, Apana excretion, Vyana circulation, Samana digestion. All of them don't function. Only the reversal action alone is functioning. They all, all of us become weak. So Udana Shakti becomes very strong. Nothing goes in, everything comes out. Thereafterwards, it can go in any direction. Through any nadi. In the mind, in the body, there are supposed to be so many nadis. That is the way through which it will go. The prana will go. The Udana Vayu, Utkarmana Vayu will escape. That marga. And in the case of Upasaka, he has to go to Brahma Loka. We are talking about the Upasaka whose final thing is going to Brahma Loka for him to gain Karma Mukti from there. We are not talking about others. So the path is supposed to be Sushumna Nadi. So only when the bundle of Jiva, the Sukshma Shariram and Karana Shariram, when that bundle goes through the Sushumna Nadi, there are so many nadis in the body, the Sushumna Nadi is one. So when it goes through that, when the Udana Vayu goes through that, along with all other systems packed in a bundle, that has to go away through the Sushumna Nadi. So in Prashna Upanishad, these are all described in detail there. So if we are ever able to discuss those Upanishads, we can see more details there. But at the moment, it is enough if we just understand that through the Sushumna Nadi it goes. So is he under a Jnani list or Ajnani list, this person? This person for whom the prana goes through the Sushumna Nadi, is he a Jnani or Ajnani? He is Ajnani only naturally, because the Upasaka is only an Ajnani. That is, you should be very clear in that. We are not talking about a Jnani at all here. So for this person, his mind may be pure. He may have great powers. We do not doubt any of those things at all. He may be a noble person. He may be a good person. He can even bless others. He may be so nice. He may even cure diseases. He may have some very unique powers. He may have some siddhis. All that's possible. Often they say, so and so is a Devi Upasaka. He is an Anjaneya Upasaka. So he is now visiting the city. Go and seek his blessings. He can cure all your diseases. People say all those kinds of things. We do not deny any of those. But what we hear mean is that person may be good in so many things, but he is an ignorant person only in what matter? Atma Vishaye. When it comes to self-knowledge, he is still an ignorant person only. He is not a jnani yet. So does he know that the Upasya Devata and him are one and the same? No. He still is an Anchanaya Upasaka, Devi Upasaka only. He doesn't still know that the Upasya Devata and himself are one and the same. So he is still, from that point of view, he is still only an Ajnani. And that is why in Kenopanishad what it said, Nedam Yaditam Upasate. That's what it said. So Upasaka comes under the Ajnani list only. He is not a Jnani. He is coming under the Ajnani list as a Karmi, as a Karma Yogi, whatever it is, they are all Ajnanis only. So his Sukshma Shariram does not die or merge with the total for this person. Whereas for Jnani, his Sukshma Shariram merges with the total. Whereas for the Ajnani, doesn't. It continues to have its individuality, unlike a Jnani Sukshma Shariram. And this Sukshma Shariram has to travel towards Brahmaloka. And for that purpose, the Sukshma Shariram has to come to the Sushumna Nadi first. And it is said that the Sushumna Nadi travels from the heart onwards. For every person, from the heart onwards, it travels onwards. It comes out through the Brahmarandram. Brahmarandram means there is a small hole or something, a dwaram, a gateway at the crown of the head. Actually, when you look at the small children, when the child is born, up to a few months, you can see the softness at the top of the crown. So that is like Brahmarandram. That is the opening. So this Sushumna Nadi, this prana coming through the Sushumna Nadi goes through the Brahmarandram straight from there. When it comes through that, it goes straight to Brahmaloka. So that's what the scripture says. And often it is said that the Sushumna Nadi is right from the navel. Whereas Shankaracharya, he writes it in his Bhashyam that it is from Hridayat Urdvam, starting from the heart, goes up. So from the Hridaya, heart it comes and goes through the middle of the head, which is called Brahmarandram. That is the way to go to Brahmaloka. So Randram means door, a opening, a way. And Brahma here means Brahmaloka, not Brahman, not Satchidananda Atma, but Brahmaloka. So Brahmarandra means Brahmaloka Randra. Randra means is the opening, is the door. So since the Sukshma Shariram has to travel through the Sushumna Nadi, and Upasaka is supposed to withdraw all his prana shakti towards the Sushumna Nadi. These are all just before death. How much control this person has to have to control all these things and then bring them all to the Sushumna Nadi so that it will escape through that. And gradually he has to bring it up through this Nadi. And that is the third condition. So first two conditions are over. Should have an unwavering mind, number one. And the fixing the mind on the Upasya Devata. Second, that is bhakti, devotion. So these two are the first two conditions. And the third condition is bringing the prana to Sushumna Nadi. That is the third condition, most difficult condition. And how can that be done? For us, even normal breathing is a problem. We cannot even breathe normally. Then where is the question of all this bringing the prana shakti through Sushumna Nadi and all requires enormous abhyasa. So Krishna says yoga balena by the power of yoga, which means every upasaka must be an expert in yoga shastra also, ashtanga yoga. He should be a great yogi also, because he has to have control over prana shakti, which means he must have practiced pranayama thoroughly, sufficiently all through the life. So that he has control over the pancha pranas, all the five pranas, all the five physiological functions. So yogis can stop the heartbeat. There are yogis who can stop the heartbeat. Breathing can be so highly controlled. Physiological systems can be controlled. They can stop it. They can rejuvenate it. They can do all the hatha yoga, so many things. So by controlling all pranas, including the udana vayu, utkarmana vayu, as Bhishmacharya, he has postponed the death by his control, by his yogic powers. So in short, by the strength of yoga, which includes yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dhyana, dharana, all samadhi, all those ashtanga yogas, So by pranic control, he withdraws all the prana shakti towards the Sushumna Nadi. But we have to remember that these things are necessary for the Upasaka. A jnani does not need any of those these things at all. And that is why Krishna is going to say later, jnana yoga is better. Because if you have to go through all these things and still go to only Karma Mukti and go to Brahma Loka and again have to do Sravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam there and then go through Jnana Marga and then go to, you know, Jivan Mukti there, this is all not worth it. Have right here and now become a jnani and go through Jnana Yoga and get out of the cycle of birth and death. That's what Krishna is going to advocate later. So a jnani need not be an expert in yoga shastra at all. No need. Because he need not have to bring this prana to the Sushumna Nadi. Because he is a Jivan Muktaha. For him, he is already liberated. He doesn't have to go through all the Sushumna Nadi, prana shakti, none of those things. He need not direct to Brahma Loka and then gain knowledge because he already gained knowledge. Whatever knowledge he wants to gain here, he already acquired himself here itself. So let it be very clear that Jnani does not require any of these. For a Jnani, all these are not required. Then does it mean that the jnani need not worry about Ashtanga Yoga? A jnani requires sufficient enough yoga to have control of his body. So that control of thinking is important. For all that, whatever is necessary, he can do. That is adequate. So breathing control is necessary for good health. He also has to maintain a good health, a jnani also. As long as he has this body, he has to maintain good health. So he need not have extraordinary control over the prana to bring it to Sushumna Nadi and all. But sufficient pranayama to keep the body, mind in control, you know, good enough. So whereas in the case of the Upasaka, he requires extraordinary expertise. A jnani should have enough Ashtanga Yoga to do Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. So that when he is doing Shravanam, the body doesn't hurt, the knee doesn't pain, back doesn't ache. So all those things don't happen. He will be comfortable and be able to do Shravanam, Mananam and all that thing. Because there afterwards he is going to dismiss the whole thing as mithya. This jnani is going to dismiss everything as mithya. And so these are all conditions for a upasaka who is an ajnani still. Bhakti, mental discipline and prana control, all those things. So the sukshma shariram is withdrawn to hridayam, to the heart. And as it happens during sushupti, a deep sleep. It is not an unknown thing to us at all. Every time we sleep, that's what we do. When we sleep, we have smell of the in the dream. If there is a smell, that's what we smell. But not the smell around us. When we are asleep, in deep sleep, we don't smell anything. All our sense organs, none of them work. Because they are all completely withdrawn. We don't smell, we don't hear any noise, we don't feel anything else. It is all the salt. So Rahu Grastha Divakarendra Sadrusho Maya Samachadanat. So Tanmatra Karana Upasamkaranataha. So it is Upasamkaranam. Upasam withdrawal of all Karanas. Of all Karanams means all the organs and everything. So the eyes are no more preoccupied with the external world. Similarly, the Karmendriyas, the Jnanendriyas, none of them are all preoccupied in deep sleep. So all of them are withdrawn. And the prana, which is the main thing in the sukshma shariram, that also is withdrawn. So it is brought to hridayam, where the sushumna nadi starts and goes upwards. And through that, it is taken up to where? Bruvor madhye. So from the hridayam, it goes into the sushumna nadi. And from there, it goes to bruvor madhye, in between the eyebrows, through the sushumna nadi, in the middle of the head. It goes through that. And that is the third condition. So, Bruvor Madhye, Prana Samyak Aveshya. Having totally withdrawn the prana between the two eyebrows through the Sushumna Nadi. So, Sushumna Nadi is mentioned here, but we have to supply. Because that is how the process is, we have to supply that. So, these are all not possible for an ordinary person, untrained person, he cannot do any of those things. This only indicates, what does it indicate? That an Upasaka must be an expert yogi also, with perfect control over the pranic system, the prana system. So that is why Kundalini Yoga, etc., you know, they talk about raising the Kundalini, means what? Which is nothing but raising the prana shakti only, which is lifted through the various chakras. There are shat chakras, or there are six chakras. It is lifted through the various chakras. Sushumna Nadi is talked about. All those things are talked in that Kundalini Yoga. So long training in pranayama, master to control other prana shaktis, a person who has to go through all that abhyasa, then only he will be able to take it up further, and then he will be able to, you know, control the prana shakti. That is why Krishna said, yoga balena, with yoga bala, with the strength of yoga alone, this can be done. Otherwise, this cannot be done at all easily. And with all these conditions, what should he do? He has fulfilled all the conditions. Then what should he do? He has to die. If he doesn't die, then he cannot go to Brahma Loka. So he should die. That is at the time of death. All these things should be at the time of death. So observing all these, if he dies, then he has fulfilled the rule. What a very, very indirect way to go to mukti, you know. So antakalena mameva smaran muktva kalevaram. In the antakala, at the time of death, he has remembered me and dropped the body. And so the sukshma shariram of that yogi will go to Brahma Loka. Why does Krishna gives all these details? To show how difficult krama mukti is. Do not vote for that at all. It is very, very difficult. Do not. So krama mukti involves so much of extraordinary yogic power, conditions at the time of death. Therefore, Arjuna, why do you vote for krama mukti at all? Why not atma jnana right here and now and enjoy jivan mukti? And that is what he is advocating. Because yes, jivan muktam or atma jnani does not require any extraordinary yoga at all, including kundalini yoga or any of those things. And if a person dies like that, saha tam param purusham upaiti, that upasaka attains the param purusha, this param brahma. Upaiti means attains, which is divyam. Divyam means swayam prakasha rupam, supreme, divine. He reaches that. Again, we should remember that he does not attain Brahman directly. We have to understand that clearly. He goes to Brahma Loka. He has to do Vedanta Vichara there. He has to attain Atma Jnanam there. And then he can go to Mukti. Saha Krama Mukti Rupena, he attains Param Brahma. That is how we should understand. Shloka 11. Yadaksharam Veda Vido Vadanti Vishanti Yadyatayo Vitaragaham Yadichanto Brahmacharyam Charanti Tatte Padam Sangrahena Pravakshye. So in this shloka, Krishna promises to define the Param Brahma. He has talked about Param Brahma before in the previous shloka, in the 9th shloka. But once again he says that he will define Param Brahma here. But in this shloka, actually he does not define Param Brahma at all. He only promises to define Param Brahma. This is a promise shloka. We can call it a promise shloka, but not actual definition shloka. That is why in the 4th line he says, Tatte Padam Sangrahena Pravakshe. Padam means Brahma Padam. I shall briefly define Sangrahena. Tat Brahma Padam. That is Parama Purusha Padam, Moksha Padam, Aham Sangrahena, briefly. Pravakshya, I shall define briefly. That's what he says here. So the definition is going to come in the 20th through the 22nd shlokas only, which we are going to see in the next webinar, not in this webinar. So he promises in the 11th shloka, and in between he goes for some diversion and defines only in the 20th and 22nd shlokas. So before defining, he gives the glory of Param Brahma. What is the glory of Param Brahma? Yatu Veda Vidaha Aksharam Vadanti. Which Brahman? Yatu, the wise people, Vedavids, the wise people, they call as Aksharam. Aksharam means imperishable. Then Yatu Vitaragaha Yatayaha Vishanti, which is attained by only Vitaragas, the people with enormous vairagyam, dispassion, absence of attachment. Only those people can attain. And not only they are dispassionate, but also yatayaha. Literally yatayaha means, yati means sannyasi. Here it means sincere and a committed seeker. A person who is very committed seeker, sincere seeker. Always sannyasa indicates sincerity and commitment, generally. So because a person has sacrificed everything else for the sake of this goal, to finally reach moksha only. So how do we know how much interest we have in anything? For example, how much interest we have in anything? It can always be determined by the amount of sacrifice a person is willing to make to attain that thing. For example, for buying a TV, if I am willing to give away $500, then I am willing to sacrifice $500 for the sake of TV. Or I can think my value of TV is $500. Our value is that much. So one's interest is directly proportional to the amount of sacrifice a person makes. We can always ask this question to our mind. For this sake, how much I am willing to sacrifice? So amount does not mean only money. It means time, it can mean energy, it can mean so many things. So similarly, how much interest I have got in moksha, I can easily know by asking myself what I am willing to sacrifice to gain moksha. And sannyasi is one who has sacrificed everything. So atmarte prithivim tyajet, there is a shloka, beautiful shloka, tyajet ekam kulasyarthe, for the sake of a family, one of the members can be sacrificed. That is why among the Panja Pandavas, Kunti was willing to sacrifice Bhima for killing that asura. And gramasya arthe kulam tyajet, for the sake of a village, to save a village, a family can be sacrificed. Gramam janapatasya arthe, a full gramam, a village can be sacrificed to save a country. For example, there is an epidemic in only contained in one gramam, only in one village. And if it is let to spread, the entire country may be destroyed. If that is the case, the Shastra allows even destruction of that one gramam. But Atma arthe prithivim tyajet, for the sake of Atma, Atma jnanam, sacrifice everything. Because for infinite, any finite thing can be sacrificed. What a great bargain, you know. For gaining infinite, any finite thing can be sacrificed. And sannyasi is one who has sacrificed everything, including the family, bank balance, anything. He has sacrificed. He does not want anything. That means what? His sincerity and commitment is so much. So sannyasa indicates commitment, sincerity. Therefore, yatayaha. So this dispassionate, committed seekers, they attain this goal. This goal means what? Goal of moksha. Then the third glory is yadichantaha brahmacharyam charanti. Seeking which? Yadichantaha. Seeking which? That goal of brahmapadam, the seekers follow brahmacharyam. Brahmacharya means the lifestyle of a brahmachari, the discipline followed by a brahmacharya, a person. Brahmacharyam is not discipline. We have to understand, it's not one discipline. It is several disciplines, a series of disciplines followed by a basic student. Normally, when we call about brahmachari, we talk about only celibacy. Celibacy is only one of the disciplines. People translate brahmacharyam to only celibacy. It is not wrong, but it is only one of the disciplines to be followed. There are several others, including simple dress, avoiding pomp and show, not even, you know, not overeating any time during Upanayanam. You know, the guru will say, and the Sishya will always say, guru will always instruct, you should not be this, you should not be that. And the Sishya will say, badam, badam, for everything he will say, yes, whatever guru says, I will do. But he will say, do not sleep in the afternoon. That's what the teacher will teach him. And he will hear and say, yes, I will not, and go and sleep. So don't, you know, put power, all these, you know, various powder and all that things, these, you know, the cosmetic things and scent, all alankara material should be avoided. No enjoyment of music, dance and all. So a series of disciplines, including Gurukula Vasa, all those things are prescribed. So Shankaracharya says, often Gurukula Vasa Lakshanam Brahmacharya. That is what Shankaracharya defines. So living with the teacher as an antevasi, living with the teacher in the Gurukula. So we can take it here as observing discipline of a Vedic student. That's what we can take Brahmacharyam here. So as we have mentioned in I don't know whether I have mentioned in this lecture or somewhere else, you know, Kaka Drishtihi, he has to have Kaka Drishtihi, Bhagat Dhyanam, and Swana Nidra Tadevacham, then Alpaharam, Jirna Vastram, Evam, Vidyarthi Lakshanam. So sharp vision like a Kakaha, concentration like a crane, so Kaka Drishti, like a crow, and Bhagadhyanam, concentration like a Baka. Baka means a crane, Bhagadhyanam, and sleep like a dog. Dog is ever alert, so it is like a military discipline. It is always alert, even though it looks like it is sleeping, it is really not sleeping. And Alpaharaha, you should have enough food only to remove hunger, and Jirna Vastram, should have cloth also, not to attract others and all. Simple cloth to hide yourself and just to protect the body. సో విద్యార్థి చేత్ త్యజేత్ సుఖం, సుఖార్థి చేత్ త్యజేత్ విద్యాం, కుతో విద్యార్థి న సుఖం. సో దిస్ ఈస్ అన్ సో ఏ పర్సన్ హూ వాంట్స్ ప్లెషర్ హీ కెనాట్ హ్యావ్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్. ఎడ్యుకేషన్ అండ్ ప్లెషర్ డోంట్ గో టుగెదర్. వన్ హూ వాంట్స్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ షుడ్ డ్రాప్ ఆల్ ప్లెషర్స్. అండ్ హియర్ చరంతి మీన్స్ ఆచరంతి ప్రాక్టీస్ ద ఫాలో. సో దిస్ ఈస్ వెరీ వెరీ క్లోజ్ యాక్చువల్లీ కఠోపనిషత్. వి ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు సీ ఆల్ దట్ మంత్రాస్. దట్ ఇస్ వై ఐఎమ్ గివింగ్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ ది కొటేషన్స్ ఫ్రమ్ కఠోపనిషత్ హియర్. సో సర్వ వేద యత్ ప్రథమామనంతి తపాగుంసి సర్వాణి చ యద్వదంతి యతిచ్ఛంతో బ్రహ్మచర్యం చరంతి తత్తే పదగం సంగ్రహేణ బ్రవీమి ఓమిత్యత్. సో దిస్ ఈస్ ది కొటేషన్ ఫ్రమ్ కఠోపనిషత్. సో తత్తే పదం మీన్స్ దట్ బ్రహ్మన్. I will define briefly, actually in the next shloka. That's what he is going to do, briefly defining that thing in the next shloka. We can perhaps finish that shloka today, or maybe I will take it in the next webinar, because we are about 9:25. I have to give some time for questions also. So we will conclude here and do the next shloka number 12 in the next webinar. Yo vedadav swara prokto vedante cha pratishthitah తస్య ప్రకృతిలీనస్య పరస్సమహేశ్వర శ్రీకృష్ణార్పణమస్తు.